Come on, find one more. Tell him I'm ready for the word. We're bringing to this pulpit tonight Brother Luke Levine. He is a world-renowned evangelist. He's preached all over the world. He's certainly preached all over this country. And we are honored to have him. He is known as one of the greatest evangelists in the United Pentecostal Church. And this church is honored to have this caliber of a man anointed of God to be with us. I want you to welcome him as he comes in Jesus' name. Will you do that? Bless you, God.
Well, praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord, everybody. How many glad to be in the house of God on a Wednesday night? Anybody happy to be here? I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. I found out that you can find some things in God's house that you can't find anywhere else. You can find peace in God's house when the world is in turmoil. Amen. You can find joy in God's house when there's nothing to be happy about anywhere out there. I'm happy to be in the house of the Lord tonight, aren't you? Praise God. So good to be here with you all, and I give honor to Pastor Kyle, his family, and this wonderful staff. Thank you for the invitation to be here with you this week. It is my honor, and I am looking forward to being with you on the weekend as well as for Rock. I've heard about Rock for many years, and I feel like my ministry has arrived because now I'm preaching this meeting that I've heard all about for all these years. So, I don't know, I feel like the old prophet. I may die in peace now. I've seen the glory. No, but it's great to be here with y'all and appreciate the Kyles and what they stand for and the respect that they command across our fellowship. And so it's just wonderful to be here with you. Good to have my oldest son, Zion, with me. He's down here on the front row. Wave at everybody, Zion. And he's 10 years old. I try... when we travel like this, I try to take one of my kids with me about every few weeks, if not the whole family, and so it was his turn. So he is pumped to be here with you all. Now, Pastor said right before I took the mic, he said, take all the time you need, just be done by 8:30. No, I actually added that last part. He said, take all the time you need. I said, but be done by 8:30. He said, yes, be done by 8:30. So, you know what? God doesn't need a whole long time to move. Usually, he's waiting on us. So, I want to direct your attention to the word of the Lord here tonight in Genesis chapter 30. Genesis chapter 30. I know this is kind of the pre-service for Rock and kind of the kickoff night of our week together, and I felt the Lord kind of steer me in a unique direction for this service, and so let's go to Genesis chapter 30, and I'm going to begin reading with verse number 14, Genesis 30, verse number 14. I do think I preached here one time before on a Sunday, and it was in this building, and I think, I'd have to look back, I've got the date in my computer, but I think it was about the time you all got in this building, which was how many years ago? 13. Yeah, that would have been about right. 12 or 13 years ago, I was here. And so when I walked in, they said, does this look familiar? I said, yes, it does. I recognize it, but I am believing God with you. Took you about 3 seconds to wake up. I know it's Wednesday night. We got to shake those cobwebs off. We'll have them knocked out by Sunday. But I am believing God with you, and I don't say that as I don't say that as preacher rhetoric. I don't say that because that's what I'm here to do and to say. In fact, if you know me very well, probably one of my faults, not probably, my wife would tell you that one of my faults is that I am too blunt and too straightforward and speak my mind just a little too often. Nobody here knows anything about that, do you? You do? Yeah. All right, we got one honest person and a whole bunch of liars. But I do feel in the Holy Ghost. There is something stirring here. There is something brewing here. Genesis chapter 30, verse number 14. And Reuben went in the days of the wheat harvest and found mandrakes in the field. Everybody say mandrakes. and brought them unto his mother Leah. And Rachel said to Leah, give me, I pray thee, of thy sons mandrakes. Everybody say mandrakes. And she said unto her, is it a small matter that thou hast taken my husband? Sounds like a soap opera here in the book of Genesis, doesn't it? Is it a small matter that thou hast taken my husband and wouldest take also my son's mandrakes? And Rachel said, therefore he shall lie with thee tonight for thy son's mandrakes. Look at your neighbor and say mandrakes. And Jacob came out of the field in the evening, and Leah went out to meet him and said, thou must come in unto me, for surely I have hired thee with my sons, what? And he lay with her that night, and God hearkened unto Leah. Look at your neighbor and say, God heard. And she conceived and bare Jacob a fifth son. I want to preach to you, just really kind of meander through this passage, if you will, a little bit. This has been kind of marinating in my spirit for a little while. And I want to preach to you about the message in the mandrakes, the message in the mandrakes. I want you to lay your Bibles or your devices down, and would you just lift both of your hands to heaven, and would you ask Jesus to talk to us here tonight? Would you ask the Lord to talk to us, to speak into the very DNA of this church with the authority of his word? Come on, everybody lift up your voice. Everybody lift up your voice. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we come before you right now, and we ask that your spirit would speak. God, that your power would be made manifest. I thank you for every believer that is here. I thank you, God, for the worship that has brought us to this place in the service. I thank you for godly leadership that is leading the charge. And Lord, I pray right now that you would, through the authority of your word and the moving of your spirit, you would deposit something into the DNA of this church before this night is over. I pray that you would encourage and strengthen and give direction and clarity. In Jesus' name, we give you praise and glory and honor. In Jesus' name, why don't you clap your hands and lift up one more loud voice of praise to the Lord? Would you do that? Come on, clap your hands and lift up a voice of praise. We love you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. You can be seated in Jesus' name. Our text delves into the tumultuous relationship between these two women, Rachel and Leah. And if you'd allow me tonight, for the sake of time and for the ground that I'd like to cover, I'd just get right to the point. The Bible lets us know that in this back and forth between these two women, that Leah was the one that was often overlooked. Leah was the one that was bypassed, if you will. But it's interesting to note that while no one else seemingly took notice of Leah, while everyone else, it was easy for them to bypass her and to look right beyond her, that while nobody else paid much attention to Leah, God saw Leah. The Lord saw what others did not. The Bible says, it lets us know that though she was despised by others, perhaps even hated, that even in the midst of all of that, that the Lord opened up her womb. God brought forth a miracle in her life. You will see as the story of Leah unfolds in the pages of Scripture that Leah had some kind of a God connection. That while she didn't seem to have a whole lot of other things going for her in her natural life, she did somehow have a connection with her Creator. Can I pause here at the very outset and tell somebody tonight, it really doesn't matter what you have in this earthly life.
really doesn't matter what you obtain in this natural existence. It doesn't even matter who looks at you and approves of you. Doesn't matter who disapproves of you. Doesn't matter who looks past you, over you, and doesn't think you are very much or have much to offer at all. If God knows my name, that's really all that I need. Can I just encourage somebody right from the beginning and let you know, you may not be much as far as this world is concerned, but oh, I would to God that somebody would get a hunger and a desire to develop a connection with the Creator that cannot be replaced by any other connection on planet Earth. It's Wednesday night, but can I just preach to you a little bit tonight? You can be seated. She has this God connection, and while there are natural doors that are shut for her, hear me tonight, while doors in the natural are being shut for her one after the other, God ends up opening doors for her that no one else could have opened for her. Just look at this situation in our text. Leah and Rachel, Rachel and Leah, back and forth. I see several problems with their relationship, and if you'll allow me to, let me just highlight a few of the issues that I see in this text. First of all, Leah at one point is very concerned about what Rachel has and what she lacks. She's very bothered by what Rachel has, but she doesn't. She's concerned about what Rachel has to such a degree that she looks right over top of the blessings that God has given her in desire for something that God has chosen not to give her. Can I just settle into this for a minute? She looks right over the top of heads of four children that God has blessed her with, and she gets envious of Rachel because she has something that Leah desires. Can I tell you, you may not have everything you want, but you ought to fall in love with what you have. Well, that's a pretty half-hearted. Let me just... Yeah, you may not have everything God's even showed you that you're going to have, but you ought to learn to fall in love with what He has placed in your lap right now. I still don't think it's resonating. Let me tell you, I may not have the promise yet. I may not be in Canaan yet. I may not be possessing my miracle yet. But you hear me, I'm going to rejoice over the season that God has placed me in, because this season, I understand, it may be real, but this season is not final. Somebody ought to take about a 10-second praise break, and you ought to just give God some glory for what He's blessed you with, what He's placed in your lap. She sees Rachel's relationship with Jacob, and she gets jealous. She gets mad. She gets upset about all of that. Can I tell you, Leah, just be content with what you have. God's blessed you with four babies. God's blessed you with four beautiful kids. Never let what you don't have diminish what you do have. Oh, come on. I feel the Holy Ghost talking to us here tonight. I don't know. I may not make any friends or get an invitation back after tonight, Brother Kyle, but I feel something stirring deep in my spirit. Never let what you don't have and what you're looking for diminish the miracle that God has already given you. I think it's all right sometimes, even when you're in between, to step back and say, Lord, I give you praise for everything. Thing that you've done and every time that you've come through. Amen. And God, I'd sure like to be over there right now. I'd sure like to be a little further down the road. I'd sure like to have some of your promises in my lap right now. But God, I praise you for what you've done. I'm not where I want to be. I haven't arrived at the destination, but I thank God that I'm not where he found me. I'm still moving on. Oh, somebody ought to praise him right now. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. God, Abo Sondo. Come on, lift your hands to the Lord right now. Come on, all across this building. We're not going to hurry through this. Lift your hands and lift your voice to the Lord. And I want you to open up your mouth and I want you to give him some sincere praise. Out of the abundance of your heart, let your mouth speak some praise for a moment. I know you're rejected, Leah. I know you're overlooked, Leah. I know it looks like you're lacking, Leah, but be thankful for what you have. Rejoice in what God has given you. I know it's not everything you want yet, but just give God praise. Don't let what you're looking for diminish what God has already done for you. I feel like camping out here. Am I preaching to a blessed church? Am I preaching to anybody that knows about a God that has come through time and again? Am I preaching to anybody that knows about a God that's answered prayer, that showed up at 11:59? He came through right on time. Am I preaching to anybody that knows a Jesus that is a way maker when there seems to be no way? I'm telling you, you ought to give him praise for that right now. Yes, 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 yes. Woo! Jesus. I don't know. I'll just be transparent with you. I can battle this in my life. I do battle this at times. We all battle this. I see where God's taken me. I see what God has promised. I see something yet ahead. And I can get so consumed and caught up with looking at that that I look right past what God is doing today. God, don't let me look past what you're doing today. Let me rejoice in the day. Let me rejoice in the miracle of every moment. God, I give you praise and I thank you. Sit down for just a minute. I don't know you. Maybe I'm preaching at the wrong church, but I think this is what the Lord gave me for tonight. You know, the second problem I see in this text in their relationship is that all of a sudden when things start to degenerate between the two women, then now Rachel in return is envying her sister. So Leah's looking at Rachel, what she has, and now Rachel is envious of Leah. Now, Rachel was the one that appeared to be blessed. Rachel was the one that had the relationship with Jacob. But now in Leah's mind and in Leah's eyes, she's not blessed enough. Rachel's eyes, she's not blessed enough. And back and forth they go. Can I tell you? You've got to be really, really, really careful here. In looking at what God is doing for a brother or a sister, or getting your eyes fixed on what God is doing for a church down the road, just give me an amen and a little Baptist head nod. Make me think you're hearing me, okay? You got to be real careful about looking across the house at a Leah, or looking across the house at a Rachel, and saying, boy, I sure wish I had that, and I sure wish we were there, and I sure wish God was doing that. Don't ever measure yourself by anyone else. Don't ever measure yourself by what God's doing in Leah, Rachel. And Leah, don't ever measure yourself by what you think's going on with Rachel. Don't look and compare yourself amongst yourself, because when envy gets on the loose, barrenness is released in the house. She begins to envy, and the envy is traded back and forth. And because envy is released in the house, they both go through a season of barrenness as a result. Can I tell you that if you're not careful, envy will become the handmaiden that hinders revival every time. And you can point that in any direction you want to. It can be envy from a brother to a brother, or a sister to a sister. It can be as small and as petty as looking at somebody who gets used in the church and you didn't. Now, that's probably never happened in the history of this church, has it? That's probably never happened. You guys are probably all too spiritual, Bishop, for that. Right? Right? Yeah. I mean, how come she got to... How come he got to? What does he have I don't? I've been fortunate, blessed. I count it as an honor to be able to speak at a few, more than one occasion, at some of our Bible colleges, and Urshan College, which is where I graduated many moons ago when it was by a different name. Gateway. All right, we got some few. I think Luke's coming back home, isn't he? We got one back and another on the way. Anyhow, where was I? I think I was preaching, wasn't I? And I'm telling you, I have watched Bible school students, young in the ministry, let envy get on the loose in their walk with God. And it marginalizes their ministry before it ever really begins. Why are they getting the opportunity and not me? Why'd he get the call and not me? Why did they get to go and not me? And then we ascribe motive, and we ascribe intent, and all of these things. Well, it's just because they got a last name, or it's just because they got this, or they got that, or they're better. I've seen churches do the same thing. Why are they getting the break and not us? We okay? Everybody still breathing? Why is God blessing them and he's not blessing us? God, why'd you do the miracle for them already and we're still here wandering in the wilderness? My God. Just smile at your neighbor real big. Just a smile will help things out right now. Just turn to somebody and smile. You want to see revival dry up? Let envy get on the loose. You want to see a ministry shrivel up? Let envy get on the loose. You know what you ought to do when it looks like your brother's being blessed, or your sister's being blessed, or the church across town's being blessed, or the church across the state's being blessed, and you're saying, Lord, we're just here yet holding on. We're just here waiting. We're just here. You know what you ought to do? Don't question why. Don't try to figure it out. Don't try to put it in a formula, because if you try to do that, you're already stepping on the wrong path. You know what you ought to do? You ought to just throw your head back and say, Lord, I bless you and I rejoice in what you are doing in your kingdom. Now, hey, if we're really the body of Christ, if we are really all the body of Christ, and we're really all members of the kingdom, then how in the world am I going to get jealous and envious of you? How in the world am I going to get envious of some other church that's a truth preaching? How in the world? My right arm can't get jealous of my left arm. My left leg can't get mad at my right leg. Come on. The minute you let envy get on the loose, it might be a good sign that you're a little too disconnected from the body. God, reconnect us to the body. And God, give us a baptism of rejoicing and praise and thankfulness for every good and perfect work that you do. Leah gets jealous. Now she's having babies by proxy. I mean, this is a mess. You don't have to watch a soap opera. Just read some of these stories you find in your scriptures. And I'm telling you, there's some messed up folks in here. There's some messed up. God used some messed up people. Now, I don't know about you, but that gives me hope. I don't know about you, but that makes me feel really good that there's stories like David in there, who made three mistakes that he should have been executed for according to custom and law. But that gives me a little hope, because I'm far from perfect. I didn't grow up with a silver spoon in my mouth, spiritually or naturally. I'm telling you, I need God, and I recognize I need God. So this gives me hope that if God can use some folks like that, hey, maybe there's a chance for little old me. God can use me too. Come on, now you don't have to be perfect to be used of God. You know that. Don't believe the lie of the enemy. You don't have to be great to do anything great for God. God uses imperfect people all the time to do great things in the kingdom. He is not looking for someone who is great. He is looking for great consecration. He's looking for great repentance. He's looking for great commitment. A third problem, I'm sorry this isn't better put together, but I'm just kind of, this has been kind of in the crock pot. You know, sometimes you bring the crock pot, you bring something out of the crock pot, you got to test it to see if it's good. You got to test it to see it works. So we're just pulling this out of the crock pot a little early tonight and sampling it, okay? Third problem I see in this text, in this relationship, is Rachel wasn't concerned with her family getting greater. She was concerned with herself getting greater. She said, I want it for me. I want the blessing for me. I want the miracle for me. What's in it for me? If there's another handmaiden that hinders revival, it's the what's in it for me attitude. You can't hoard the manna or it goes bad. You know that, right? We learned that in the Old Testament. You can't hoard the blessing of God or you'll go bad. I've seen people whose spirits turn sour and attitudes turn bitter, because they hoard the blessing of God. They hoard the hand of God in their life. My God, my God. Give us a revival of giving. A good way to cure that attitude is to be a giver. Well, thank you for those nine of you that... A good way to cure this old flesh, now maybe you've never had to cross that bridge, but Levine has once or twice. Y'all just look at me like you're more spiritual and you've never. A good way to cure that attitude of wanting to just hoard it all and bring it all in is to start giving it all away. I'm stepping on somebody's toes right now. You see, here's what we do. This American dream mentality, this American dream mindset, this is nowhere in Scripture, my brothers and sisters. I got one right and no amens and a bunch of blank stares, okay. This idea that I just work, save, hoard, invest, and it's me, mine, and mine, and secure my future, and secure my family's future, my kids' future. I'm not telling you to be a knucklehead now. I'm not telling you to be foolish. I'm not telling you to live ridiculously. But I'm telling you, God's way to blessing and security is by an entirely different path than your financial investor is going to give you. Okay, I'm going to mess with some of you, but I'm going to give you a little disclaimer. I think you ought to live on a budget. You cannot consistently spend more than you make, because that's just stupidity, right? That's just common sense. I mean, then you're going to wind up in the mess that our government's in. They got one party blaming the other party, and whoever's in the White House, that party gets blamed, and then who's ever in Congress, that party. And it's like, come on, y'all have both been in power back and forth for the last. Y'all both got us here. Y'all both need to give us some answers. You can't live like that. You can't spend more than you make and expect God to just keep making up the difference now. I'm going to mess this thing up good. You got people maxing out 13 and a half credit cards, and then they pay their tithes and say, all right, Jesus, take care of all that now. Jesus isn't going to take care of your stupidity, honey. Hey, we're going to have a fun week if I don't hurt anybody's feelings, okay? But I'm telling you, the American way is you just hoard, save, invest. That's how you get financial security. You know what God's kingdom says? God's kingdom says if you want to have and be taken care of, give. Oh, I don't know. Give. Let me tell you about a little girl in St. Louis who just came to God in the last few months and was saving. And I don't know all the details of the story, so forgive me if I get a couple of the details, but I'll get the gist of it right. She had just come to God in the last several months, and she was praying and believing God and growing in her relationship with God, and she was saving for college. She was not from a well-to-do family of any kind, and she was trying to go to college, and college season was approaching, and she didn't have enough money for her first semester. She had no scholarships, nothing, and so she's saving, and she has nothing. She has barely two nickels to rub together. She's saving, working just so she can go to college and further education. Now, that's a noble quest, right? Nothing wrong with that. But the Lord prompted her heart in a service, brand new convert, to empty out her college savings. I'm telling you, she didn't even have enough for the first semester to empty out her college savings and give it to the cause that was being presented in that service. And a new convert hadn't even been in the church a year, with radical faith, simple faith, said, yes, Lord. Sometimes we live for God so long, we've learned how to talk ourselves out of it. We sit in a service and start fleecing God when God starts talking. Well, Lord, Lord, I'm obedient. Lord, you know I'll obey you, whatever you tell me to do. Now, Lord, if you want me to do that, I want you to have one person walk down the aisle and touch me on my left shoulder blade. And then I want you to have Pastor Kyle say my name from the pulpit. And then I want you to have Sister So-and-so come do the loop-de-loop dance she does all across the front. And if those three things happen in the next 45 seconds, then, Lord, I'm going to know it's you. And I know it's possible you can do those things, Lord. I know you can do those things. What are y'all looking at me like that for? I think I caught you. And this young new convert with radical, simple faith. I don't know, she's 18, 19 years old. Only one in her family coming to church. Getting grief from home for going. She empties it out and gives it to the cause being presented in that service. Within a few weeks, the college that she had applied to contacted her. Hear me. She didn't even apply for scholarships because she knew she didn't have the credentials to get them. They awarded her a scholarship that she never even applied for. You understand what I'm telling you? They said, your first year and your second year are completely covered, and we will revisit your situation for the third and fourth year. They said, you will not have to pay for your room and board. You will not have to pay for your food. You will not have to pay for your textbooks. You will not have to pay for your tuition. You will not have to. They said, now there's just a minimal parking fee that you're going to have to pay every semester. Just a minimal parking fee that you're going to have to pay every semester. But everything else for 2 years is completely covered. Well, Brother Levine, you know, I gave some money one time, and I watched that mailbox for 2 weeks, and God never did anything like that for me. And that's probably why, because it doesn't matter just that you give. It matters how you give. Honey, motive matters. That young girl was too new in the Lord to try to serve some vending machine Jesus where you put a quarter in and a piece of bubble gum comes out. She wasn't trying to do a gumball Jesus kind of thing. She was just saying, Lord, you've moved on my heart, and so I'm doing it. God doesn't respond to your manipulation. Come on, you hear what I'm preaching to you? God is not obligated to respond to yours or my manipulation. What he does respond to is radical faith. What he does respond to is radical obedience. What he does respond to is radical sacrifice. That's what gets God's attention. Oh, somebody ought to clap your hands and lift your voice to the Lord, right? Somebody clap your hands and give God a shout. Yeah. Jesus. Thank you. Be seated for just a minute. Ooh. I see another problem in this text. Rachel's looking for love in all the wrong places. Now, I could preach about that Friday night. Well, you know, scratch that. I could preach about that tonight. We have messages we used to preach to all of our students all the time. You know, we preach certain types of messages on peer pressure and immorality and all that stuff. Can I tell you, we need to preach those to our adults, too. I don't know. Y'all out there? Don't worry about it. They're thinking, my God, is he going there too? He's hitting giving. He's hitting all these stuff tonight, my Lord. We're going to have whiplash by Sunday. Rachel prays her much quoted, though misquoted prayer, misinterpreted prayer. Give me children, lest I die. And we've spiritualized that because it sounds good. But if you look at the text, she's got a little bit of an issue because she wasn't praying to God. She was praying to Jacob. She was begging her husband, give me children, lest I die. Can I tell you, Jacob can't give you the kind of blessing that God wants to give you. You're looking for love in all the wrong places. You're barking up the wrong tree, Rachel. What God wants to do is give you something that cannot come from any other source of fulfillment or provision. Oh, hear this preacher tonight. What God wants to do, what God is able to do, is a miracle that cannot come from anyone else. She then gets satisfied with a substitute revival. Her handmaidens having children. And she's calling them her own. I mean, there's so much in this text, we don't even have time to get to it all tonight. Her handmaidens having kids, and she's saying, let me tell you, what God wants to do, he's not going to give you a fake revival. He's not going to give you fake blessing. He's not going to give you something that's pretend, make-believe. You know, like some folks come to church on Sunday morning, make-believe. They make-believe like everything's right. They make-believe like they don't need God. They make-believe like they don't need pastor's sermon. They make-believe. They're living in fairy tale land. Probably not here. There's probably nobody ever in the history of this church has ever done that. I'm probably preaching this at the wrong church right now. I don't know. Hear me. They come to church and people go through the motions. How you doing, brother? Oh, bless the Lord. I'm doing good. Oh, bless the Lord, brother. Blessed and highly favored. Oh, yes. Oh, ain't God good? Oh, yes. Then we get our little pre-programmed Insta praise out. You got your little jig that you do. You know, it's the same. Meanwhile, your life's falling apart. You've been tripping up all week, slipped up, hadn't been praying, far from God. Make believe. God, give us a baptism of authenticity. Now, I don't need to know what you've been doing all week. I don't care. I don't want to know. I'm not your pastor. Please don't, after this service, come tell me what's been going on in your life and all the mistakes. Go to Brother Sapp and tell him. I knew that was coming. I was just giving you an opportunity for it. Tell somebody else. You know, hear me now. Yeah, there's some fine-looking young men right back here. I'm telling you what, just unload on them. Just unload on them. That's what they're there for, right? Hear me. But I'm telling you, get real with Jesus at least. Hey, church, yes, he does. He already knows. Church isn't the place where you try to come because you are fixed. Church is a place you come to get fixed. Church isn't the place you come because you're perfect and you got life by the tail. Church is a place you come because I recognize, hey, I need God. I need a power that is higher than I. I need a grace that is beyond me. I need an infusion of something that I can't get anywhere else in my life. Sit down for just a minute. Rachel, satisfied with substitute revival. And then finally, the message I want to key on in the text. She feels like she has Leah's secret. Reuben is in the field. The boy is in the field, and he finds these little plants that the Bible calls mandrakes. He finds these mandrakes, and Rachel sees Reuben. She sees him, the son of the sister, picking the mandrakes out of the field, putting them in his sack, picking them up. And she looks across there and she says, ah, I've got it. I figured it out. I know now why Leah's having all these babies. And I can't have any babies. Everybody take a deep breath. I know there's kids in here. I'm good. Everybody's looking at me like, where's he going with this? She says, I know. I figured it out. I got it. It's because of the mandrakes. And Rachel makes a timeless mistake. The mandrake mistake. A mistake still being made by men and women in God's kingdom today. She looks at the mandrakes and she says, that must be the source of her blessing. That must be the source of her promise, the children being born to her. You see, mandrakes in scripture times were looked at as a love drug of sorts. You with me? They believed that the mandrake, it was a root, it was the byproduct of another harvest is really what it was, which is a message all in itself. It was a root that literally resembled a man. It was a root that looked like it had two legs and two arms. And they believed that if you crushed it up and ingested it, and they did so in various forms, that it could break barrenness and it could cause you to bring forth child. It was believed that conception was almost guaranteed if you could get a hold of some mandrakes. And so Rachel says, aha, this is what's happened. She's got mandrakes. This must be what's going on. Now, then we get to this portion of the text where she starts bartering for the mandrakes. She says, give me those mandrakes. I'll pay you for those mandrakes. And Leah says, isn't it enough that you took my husband? I mean, listen to these ladies. It's pretty funny. You need to read. I haven't read this in like a modern translation, but that'd probably be pretty funny to read this. And she says, isn't it enough that you've taken my husband? Now you want to take my mandrakes too? I mean, she probably had her head bobbing, her attitude going, and her finger waving, you know? Like some of y'all do once in a while, right? She says, I figured it out. It's got to be this. And so she says, I'll pay you. And she barters. And I mean, this, we won't go into this, but she barters with time with her own husband. She says, I'll give you time with my husband, which actually happened to be her husband too, which I mean, again, just we'll have to unpack that in a whole nother service or series of services, okay? I mean, there's some good stuff there, but it'd take too long to unpack in the next 16 minutes that we have here. She says, I'll give you time with our husband. I'm telling you, God used some messed up people. I'm telling you. I'll give you time with them for the mandrakes. And all of this because she looked at what God had given Leah. And she said, it must be the mandrakes. And can I tell you tonight that there are churches whose revivals are stalled. And there are believers whose ministries are in neutral because they have made the mandrake mistake. They have looked at what God has done for someone else, in someone else, through someone else, and they have attributed it to something natural, to something. To a drug or a potion or a formula that was manufactured, man-produced. Can I tell you, you can't generate the blessing of God in your flesh. You can't cause the blessing to fall in your own might or your own power. But last time I checked, he said, it is by my spirit, saith the Lord. Can I just tell you what the message in the mandrakes is? The message in the mandrakes is that you need to quit looking for shortcuts. You need to quit looking for a quick and easy formula. Eat this, drink this, do that. This 12-step, that 3-step, this program, that program. Those things may all be fine and good. But honey, there is no gimmick to revival. There is no gimmick to harvest. There is no gimmick to increase. Oh, but but go back and look at where we started. Leah had a God connection because she learned long ago that when she was rejected, while nobody else may listen, I've got a God that'll hear me. I'm preaching that somebody needs to get back to your own Genesis. Somebody needs to get back to your own Genesis. You need to get back to where it all started for you and say, I know this thing started with a God connection, and I'm going to get back to the original. I'm going to get back to the blueprint. Come on, too many times we lose our first love. Too many times we start out in the fire and we end up in the smoke. Too many times we start out with a hunger and a desire for God, but then we get sidetracked. We're looking for gimmicks, and we're looking for tricks, and we're looking for push-button microwave revival. We're looking for it to happen real fast and happen right now. And I do this, and this happens. And I do that, and that happens. I understand there are scriptural principles of growth and harvest and increase that cannot be ignored. But, honey, there is no gimmick. There is no trick. There is no quick and easy. Well, if we just had this, we can have revival. Well, if we just had better music, we can have revival. If we had a better children's program, we can have revival. If we had a better foyer, we can have revival. If we had our own building, we can have revival. If we had this, we could have... No. Can I tell you what you need to get after is a God connection. What you need to get after is a connection with God. Because the mandrakes really don't matter at all, Rachel. It's a God connection. There is no shortcut. There is no shortcut to revival. There is no shortcut to the anointing. There is no shortcut to outpouring. Oh, come on, somebody lift up your voice right now. Somebody lift up your voice right now. I feel the Holy Ghost wanting to break loose in this place on a Wednesday night. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. God, deliver us from the shortcut mentality. God, deliver us from the shortcut mentality. God, deliver us from the quick and easy methods. But God, I pray that you'd give us a hunger and a desire, God, to renew our connection at an altar, to renew our connection in your presence. You know what we need more of? We need more altar time. You know what we need more of? We need more hunger. We need more desire. We need people who are passionate for God, not just following the quick and latest fad in church growth culture. All those things are fine and good, and they have their place. But, honey, there is nothing that replaces prayer, and there is nothing that replaces fasting, and there is nothing that replaces a hunger and desire for God, where you fall on your face and say, nothing else matters. Hey! Yeah, come on, stand with me. Stand with me. Nothing else matters. Nothing else matters. Because if I can get a God connection, I'm going to quit trying to grab somebody else's template and put it on my situation. I'm going to quit trying to grab somebody else's pattern and lay it over my own ministry. I'm going to quit measuring myself by another man's ministry, by another man's church, by what God's doing for somebody else. But if I just get back to the God connection, I'm going to say, you and me, Jesus, and whatever you want to do in me, let's go. Wherever you want to take me, let's do it. I'm with you, Lord. Speak, for your servant's ready to hear. Come on, somebody needs to go after God right now. Somebody needs to lift up your voice and go after God for just a moment. Lift up your voice all across this room. Lift up your voice all across this room. Yarabasatarakataya. Come on, somebody get your passion back. Somebody get your hunger back. God, give us a restoration of hunger. God, give us a restoration of passion. If you can get your passion back, your passion will pound out a path all by itself. You don't need a template. You don't need a 10-step plan. If you can get your passion for God back, your passion's going to find a way for revival. Your passion's going to find a way for harvest. Your passion's going to pound out a path to increase. Yeah. Come on, we got about 10 minutes. I'm not going to beg you to come. I know this might be a different format than what you do in your normal Wednesday nights. Probably not your typical Wednesday night teaching or preaching. But here's what we're going to do. This altar's open, and if you're hungry for an outpouring, if you're hungry for a visitation, if you're hungry for a move of the Spirit, if you want to get back to what really matters, a God connection, you ought to get out of your chair right now. I know it's Wednesday night. I know we got things to do in the morning and work and schedules. I'm not going to beg you to come. But if you're hungry for a breakthrough, if you're hungry for a renewed God connection, you need to get to this altar and find yourself a place to go after God. Come on. Come on, come on, come on. Get in this altar and lift up your voice. Don't wait for anybody else. Don't wait for somebody to pray for you. Don't wait for anybody to lay hands on you. Get as close as you can in this altar and begin to lift up your voice and cry out to God. What could God do? What could God do if we could grasp the message of the mandrakes tonight and forget about all the things that don't matter and say, Lord, I'm looking at you, Jesus. Come on, lift up your voice. Come on, lift up your voice. Come on, somebody can be filled with the Holy Ghost right now. Somebody can receive a miracle right now. There is a hunger in this place that can produce untold miracles. There's a desire in this place that can produce untold miracles. Maybe there's somebody in this room that you've been struggling. Not only spiritually barren, but naturally barren. God's able to open up. God's able to open up a barren womb. And God's able to bring forth blessing. But you've got to go after it tonight. You've got to go after it. Lift up your voice. Lift up your voice in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray a release. God, I pray a release. I pray a release of the power of the Holy Ghost right now. I pray right now that you would respond to every hungry heart. God, I pray that you would respond to every hungry heart. Come on, somebody needs to lift up your voice and pray till you see, feel something shift in your spirit. Come on, somebody needs to lift up your voice and pray. Close your eyes. Forget about who's around you. Don't worry about who's praying next to you. Don't worry about what time it is. We got time to clean up. We got time to pray for a few minutes. Somebody needs to lift up your voice and go after God with a reckless abandon right now. Yes, 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 yes. Come on, let's let it flow. Let it flow. Let your prayer rise. Let your hunger grow. Yes, 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 yes. Yes, yes, yes. Hatalalamoso. Oh, yes. Oh, come on, that's it. Somebody get desperate for him. Somebody get desperate for him. Somebody get desperate for him. Somebody get hungry for a move of his spirit. Yes, yes. Before we leave this place tonight, let this be an anthem of your desire. Let this be an anthem for your hunger.